My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello, and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French, and these are my rants. And also, I am now officially the most tired man in America. I wish I was kidding. You know, God is testing me, and no. He ain't testing me. He's punishing me for hating on Miss Josefina Cuervo and the whole leaf blower conversation. He is really testing me in the way that I didn't support Jose's totally random thought in that leaf blowers are a nuisance to society. And I really let him down as a friend in that moment, and I didn't support him. And God is, you know, sending me a little karma. And I think I'd mentioned that from time to time on my street, as we all know, sometimes there's a music festival. Sometimes there's a homeless band. Sometimes there's an unhoused band, whatever the woke left liberals like to say, which I am. Whatever the correct term is. Okay, guys, we got to be so fucking for real right now. Okay, and cancel me. I'm getting canceled in the first 10 minutes on a Wednesday morning. Also, hi, happy Wednesday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. do you really think that a person who is homeless, unhoused, living on the street, whatever you want to say, do you think that they give a flying rip about what they are called? Whether it be unhoused, homeless, or bum, like, do you think they care? I really don't. I'm sorry. I really, really don't think that they give two mother freaking shits if I call them homeless or unhoused. So I would just like someone who's maybe a little bit more educated than me, keep in mind, barely have a high school diploma, to maybe give me the thought process on why we rebranded being homeless. Why we rebranded homeless to unhoused. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, like I just said, I don't got that big of an education. Thank you to the public system here in America. But those two things mean the exact same thing. And I understand that maybe one sounds a little bit more derogatory or like no, like the person doesn't have a house. And can we take our efforts and our energy instead of trying to rebrand homelessness and actually try to pass legislation that is going to help these individuals who have found themselves in this circumstance? All jokes aside, obviously, I'm pro-legislation to, you know, fund affordable housing and all that. I'm not making fun of unhoused people or homeless people. I'm just saying the way that if you say in Los Angeles, once again, with the woke left liberals, like, oh, is there a homeless man? Or if you say the word homeless and someone claps back and they're like, it's unhoused. I'm so sorry. Did a homeless person tell you that they would rather be called unhoused? Because I don't think they give a shit. Wow. Anyways, we just really, really started off Wednesday off with a bang, if I do say so myself. But anyways, I don't. What was I even fucking saying? Oh. O'Reilly. Auto parts. No. Okay. Wow. I'm acting like I literally just fucking shot up crack cocaine. Like, why am I acting so crazy? Anyways, Josefina Cuervo. So, you know, I was giving her hate on the Totally Random episode about leaf blowers. And I had maybe mentioned that on my street, sometimes they like to power wash the sidewalks in the middle of the night. And guess what, ladies? Guess what, gentlemen? Guess what, non-binary community? Guess what, tyrants, my little feral rats? That time of the month is here. And I'm not talking about my period, but it sure does feel like I have one because the time of the month has come where they decided to power wash my entire sidewalk, specifically the location directly under my window. Last night, starting at about 3 a.m., ending at about 7:30 this morning. I'm pretty sure the generator that runs the power washer was maybe sitting either on the sidewalk outside of my window, or they might have just broken the glass, slung it right on in my apartment, because that's what it sounded like. That's what it sounded like. So, if I'm feeling a little crazy, if I'm feeling a little kooky, it's because the Rat King is running into about 30 minutes of sleep. I got 30 minutes of slumber. And I'm really hoping that tonight, that sweet, sweet little angel decides not to come back, because guess what? If that sweet, sweet little man who's power washing that sidewalk, and I do know it was a man because I popped my head out the window, if that sweet, sweet man decides to return to Mikasa, he's about to meet Jesus Cristo. He's about to meet Jesus Christ, because he's going back home. He's going back upstairs, straight up the elevator, ding, going up, because I'll be in jail for homicide. I will be in jail for premeditated homicide because I don't think I can go through another night of that. And it's just really hard when, you know, something in your life is so amazing, but it comes with so much trials and tribulations. And that's this apartment. This apartment is one of my favorites I've ever lived in. It's so beautiful, so perfect, my vibe, the brick wall, the exposed wood beams, all my furniture fits perfectly. But when I tell you the amount of trials and tribulations that, if you guys can hear that music outside, guess what? The fiesta's back. The amount of trials and tribulations that this apartment has given me, Termite City, festival season year round, power washing headquarters once a month at least. Did I already say Termite City? Did I already mention the leak that almost ruined my podcast equipment? Did I already mention? Wow. Okay. So, yeah, just all that to say that, yeah, if I'm feeling a little crazy, it's because I'm running on no sleep. And I'm a sleepy girl. I'm a sleepy gal. And you better trust and believe that when the doctor tells me that you need 8 hours of sleep, guess what? I add 2 just to be safe. I make it 10. I am not a functioning adult if my head don't hit that pillow and it does not hit right for 10 hours. If I'm tossing and turning, guess what? I'm going to be swinging left and right all day the next day. So that's kind of just been my day. That's kind of been my life story. But anyways, I hope that everyone had a great weekend. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. And I also might be feeling cuckoo because I might be going through withdrawals. And by withdrawals, I mean the Rat King, the absolute feral. Not even the Rat King. Tequila. Tequila has been suppressed for 2.5 weeks. Yes, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, non-binary community, tyrants all across the globe. I have not had a lick of liquor, wine, alcohol, anything since St. Patrick's Day, the luck of the Irish. And I mean, wait, should I pause for a round of applause? Pause. Thank you, because I'm also very proud of myself. Like I said, I just needed a little bit of break before Coachella, and I've said, as you guys know, that I'm going to take breaks before. And I always break. I always break the break. I always cheat. I'm always a cheater. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater, loser. I always break. And guess what? Guess what? This is just proof to not only me, but to the tyrants that when you put your mind to hard things, you can achieve anything. And I have achieved. I've achieved the unthinkable. I haven't drank for 2.5 weeks. And I'm feeling so great going into Coachella. I wish I, you know, had a little bit more sleep, as we had obviously just covered for a few too minutes long. But yeah, I'm feeling really good. So I had a pretty chill weekend. Other than the fact that we had a holiday this weekend that shouldn't be acknowledged, should not be celebrated, should not be yearly, annually. It should deserve absolute jail time. There are repercussions and consequences to the actions of this holiday. And that holiday being April Fool's Day. Because guess what? Raise your hand. My hand's raised. You can't see me, but my hand is high up in the air. I'm the biggest fool on the planet. Number one fool, me. First in line. First to show up for work. I will believe everything I read on the internet. I will believe every TikTok I see. I will believe every text that a friend sends me. I will believe every article that I read on TMZ. I fell for every one of those traps that you nasty little whores out on the interwebs were throwing my way. I fell for JC's, that her landlord was suing her. I fell for Kendall's. She said that like her husband was kissing some girl. I was falling for shit left and right. And guess what? I am the most global person in the world. And so this holiday is just really like, I got to stay off the internet. I got to stay off the interwebs. And I really just have to cleanse my soul because it's just a whole day of dodging left and right. Lies, rumors, nastiness. I'm going to need receipts, proof, timelines, screenshots, everything. And yeah, I just don't, I just like to be a trustworthy person, you know, and not live my life fearful that people are lying to me. And so April Fool's Day is just really not my day. Really not my day. Really didn't have a good day. But other than that, my weekend was good. Friday night, I watched Drag Race at my house and it was pretty chill. Obviously, I wasn't drinking. And I have one thing to say. I have one thing to say. Plain Jane, you better work, bitch. I have apologies to make. I'm kind of going on an apology tour. Oh, is this episode my apology tour? Because I've got some apologies to make. I'm kind of feeling apologetic, some would say. Numero uno apology. Plain Jane, RuPaul's Drag Race. I said that she was a nasty little bitch at the start of the season. Now, I'm obsessed. She's the best one. She's my favorite one. And Chelsea texted me after she had heard that episode that I was hating on her. And she was like, I don't understand why you don't like her. Like, I'm obsessed. And I was like, nope, I don't get it. And you know what? Just like a lot of other things in my life, I was wrong. I was wrong. It's a beautiful, beautiful drag queen. So talented. So funny. I think what it is, and maybe I already talked about this on the podcast, but when you're a bitch to people that you don't know, like when you're like have funny banter and you're being sassy to people you don't know, you're just a bitch. But when you're being sassy and bitchy to your friends, it's hilarious. Hello, I'm the biggest bitch to my friends. I'm the biggest bitch to Jose Cuervo. And I get it. I get it. Like, I am just sassy, but I necessarily wouldn't do that to, like, people I don't know. But if I was going into reality competition series and it's all drag queens, I probably would be, you know, because I'd want to be myself and I'd want to, you know, get the camera time and whatever. So I got to apologize for the absolute slander in the past on Plain Jane because she is an icon. She's a legend. Who else do I have to apologize to? I got to apologize to Tay Swizzle. Taylor Swift. I've been thinking a lot lately because obviously Beyonce, the Beyonce of it all. And we'll get into more of my love and affection for Beyonce, obviously, because we got to talk a little bit more about Carver. Someone called 911. I'm having a stroke. We got to talk more about Carver. Hello, what is this? What is your emergency? I'm having a stroke. Okay. Anyways, we got to talk more about Cowboy Carter later. Wow, finally I got that out. But in my obsession with Cowboy Carter and just how this is kind of my first time in my life, I feel like, that I've been just like fully immersed in a fandom and like truly like stand someone. Like, I loved Lady Gaga and Katy Perry in high school, but like there wasn't really any like social media, or I wasn't really into the tabloids or anything. So I would watch like, you know, maybe their VMAs or whatever, and I would listen to their music. That was kind of the extent of it. I didn't like fully dive into the fandoms, but I would go to their tours and stuff. But this is the first time where literally, and I mean, thanks to the TikTok and Instagram algorithm, where I literally watch one video and now my entire algorithm is Beyonce facts. It really feeds into the lore, and obviously the Tyrants, you know, the Paris party, it all kind of just made me really just fully dive into being a full on Beyonce stan. And I mean, I kind of feel like I'm getting carried away. Like, I am almost a 30-year-old man, and now I'm finally getting into stan culture. It's a little problematic. It's a little, you know, weird, you know, maybe seek therapy, but I love it. It's the first time that I'm really like fully immersed in an album, and I'm loving all the, you know, Easter eggs and the sneak peeks and the drops and everything. And here comes the apology to Taylor Swift and the Taylor Swift community, the Swifties. I'm so sorry for hating. I'm so sorry for being a fucking hater, because even if I am not like the biggest fan, or if I don't listen to her music or whatever, why am I trying to yuck your yum? You guys are standing your girl. You are loving this album. You are loving all the Easter eggs and the storytelling and the this and the that. And you just want to talk about it. And you just want to, you know, you have this whole community of Swifties who love it and whatever. And I am now feeling like that with the Beehive. I am fully immersed and I'm just so obsessed. And seeing people hate on her, I'm just like, ew, like, tell me you don't have taste, one, but two, like, it, like, what, if you don't like it, just don't listen to it and don't talk about it. Like, just do your own thing. No one's making you listen to it. And that's where I'm eating my words. That is where I'm eating my words, because I've definitely been a hater on the Taylor Swift train into the Swifties. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of points, you know, with the whole Super Bowl and everything, where it was just a lot. Like, she was thrown into our face a lot. But now I feel like it's kind of, Beyonce is doing that right now. You know, she was at the iHeart Music Radio Awards. And I mean, she looked so good. She looked insane in Versace. I can't even, it's one of the most amazing looks I've ever seen. But it just really got me thinking, like, wow, I really am a bitter ass bitch to be hating on people who are just trying to stan a girl that they love and that they grew up with and that they listen to. And I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy for you guys that you get this way more often than I get this with Beyonce. But also, you know what? I'm going to give it a chance. I'm not committing to the bit. I'm going to be a full-blown Swiftie. But I'm so excited for next month. I'm so excited that the way that I'm feeling this month and the lead up to Cowboy Carter and just watching everyone love it and watching Beyonce win just and get all this love and admiration for this album. I'm so excited that you guys are going to have your turn next month. And I will be here rooting for you, and I'll be here to support, and I will be listening to the album. I will be, you know, giving my same opinions like I do with Beyonce here on the pod. And yeah, I'm happy for you. And I apologize to any Swifties that I have offended. Because you know what? Art is subjective. And if you like a gal, good for you. Amazing. I don't have to like her. I don't have to listen to it. I'm not saying I don't like her or that I don't, whatever. But that doesn't mean I have to hate on her. So I apologize, because the people that are hating on Beyonce, I'm just like, wow, you really are publishing on the World Wide Web to live for time and all eternity that you have absolutely no taste and that you're a loser and a lame-o and a wannabe. Also, I just have to give a special shout out to the Tyrants, who DM'd me that you guys did your homework. You guys did your homework. And I'm so appreciative that you guys listened to Cowboy Carter and that you guys gave it a chance, because I know a lot of you guys aren't Beyonce fans, but I might be converting you guys. And I just have to thank you for doing your service to the community, to the Tyrant community. Because wow. Wow, wow, wow. I mean, now that I've had the weekend to process that, A, Tyrant's the best song on the album and everyone's obsessed with it. And like, it's just so hard being a trendsetter, you know? Like, when Beyonce starts taking ideas from you, that's when you really just know that you're blessed and you're gifted and you're creative and you're on the right path. And so I really was just soaking that in all weekend. I won't lie. It's seeing the word tyrant now, like, all over TikTok and Instagram stories, people posting it and having it not be related to me. I won't lie. That's a little bit of a blow to my ego, because I'm like, wait, I created tyrants. Like that word, like, was a word for, you know, centuries, but, like, that's my thing. That's our thing. And now it's, like, kind of Beyonce's thing, but I'm still reclaiming it. That is our thing. You know, we are the OG tyrants, and we're not going to let the internet forget that. Okay. But it is just so cool. Like, I'm still not over it. I think it's so exciting. And it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, I posted that video reacting to hearing tyrant for the first time on my Instagram. And I kind of felt so dumb afterwards, because once again, I was just like, I am a 30. Well, whoa. Ty French, you are disgusting. You disgust me. Why would you ever age yourself like that? That was absolutely uncalled for. I'm so sorry to myself. I'm only 27. I don't know why the fuck I just said 30. Anyways, I'm a 27-year-old man, and I'm out here in my living room recording myself, videotaping myself, listening to a Beyonce song, freaking out, and then posting that on the internet. You know, some could call that cringy. And I agree with you. It is kind of cringy. But also, at the same time, I'm just trying to have some fun. I'm just out here trying to have fun. And I am just so sick of taking social media so seriously and trying to act, like, cool and, like, you know, elusive and, you know, I'm so creative and I'm so artsy and I'm so fashion, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm going to post a video of me absolutely freaking out listening to Tyrant for the first time, because I freaked out when I heard it, and I freaked out when I found the title, and, you know, I'm just learning to have fun. I'm learning to have fun, and I'm showing you guys the fun. I don't know. There are so many things I want to say about the album, but I feel like everyone's already seen them, and I don't want to, like, bore you guys with just, this is another episode all about Beyonce, even though I could literally change my whole entire podcast to be about Beyonce, and I wouldn't even have to rebrand it now. But my favorites from the album so far, first off, I have listened to it 500,000 times, and I wish I was kidding. I'm not. And every time I listen to it, I feel like I have a new favorite. But as of now, my favorites are, oh my gosh, even now I can't even say. Spaghetti, Sweet Honey Buckin, Two Hands to Heaven, and Two Hands to Heaven, Two Most Wanted, and Levi's Jeans with Post Malone. I mean, it's just so, how do you have, first off, the fact that Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton are on the album at the same time, that is just so iconic to me, because obviously Dolly Parton is Miley Cyrus's godmother. And then it didn't even click to me until later, like, obviously having Miley on it is so iconic because her dad is Billy Ray Cyrus, who is such an icon in country music as well. Like, there's so many levels to it. That is just, like, I can't. There's so much lore to the album and so much meaning behind every little thing that, I don't know, DM me if you guys want me to, like, maybe go harder into it. But trust me, I don't want to do a whole other episode about Beyonce. I feel like literally all I do is talk about her. And people, the tyrants who don't care about Beyonce are probably like, get this bitch off my screen. Like, you are annoying. But anyways, I just want to let you guys know my favorites off the album so far. This rant has been so all over the place. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't even know how I got here at this point. My weekend. So, as I told you guys on the Totally Random episode with Josefina Cuervo, we went to a Barry's class on Saturday. If you guys don't know what Barry's is, it is a workout class. As you guys know, I'm not in my gym era. I'm not, you know, huge into going to the gym at the moment. But I went because it was full free, and I went to support my friend. My friend was like, you know, hosting a ton of influencers and stuff at this ride. It was like half ride, like half a cycle class, half on the floor. We started on the bike. I used to go to SoulCycle a lot, like when my friend worked there. If you guys, you know, maybe are new to this podcast and you haven't gone back and listened to all the episodes, once again, I'm going to bring it back to Beyonce because yes, there was a time where I did ride in a SoulCycle class with Beyonce and she was the bike right in front of me. She was pregnant with the twins. It was the most iconic thing I've ever seen. And that's really it. It was a few months before her. She might have just had the twins. It was right before her Coachella 2018 performance. My friend was the manager at SoulCycle and Beyonce started coming in a lot. And so I kept trying to get in a class where she was going to be in. And I eventually got in and I was literally one bike behind and over from Beyonce. So I literally, like, as I was looking in the mirror at myself riding the bike, like, Beyonce was right in front of me. The fact that I've been 2 feet away from Beyonce multiple times in my life is crazy. And that's more than you guys can say. I'm not to rub it in. And it was Beyonce, it was Jay-Z, it was Kelly Rowland, Vanessa Hudgens, Usher. Like, the class was literally insane. It was honestly life-changing. It was one of the hardest classes I've ever taken in my entire life. And so honestly, I kind of blacked out half of it because A, Beyonce was right in front of me. Two, we sang happy birthday to Jay-Z before the class started.
My life is crazy.
I should have brought that up to him when I shook his hand at the Beyonce party in Paris. Anyways, and also the class was absolutely the hardest class ever. And my friend who's a manager was like, if you sit down in this class or if you like miss a beat, like I'm going to be in trouble because you are sitting so close to Beyonce. Like you have to be amazing. And this is before I even started my gym era. Like I was 90 pounds and literally sucked. And when I tell you, I chugged a Celsius so fast before that class and I have never done a SoulCycle class so fast in my entire life. The last song was, the big wheel keeps on turning, turning, Proud Mary keeps on burning, rolling, rolling, rolling. When I tell you, the beat is, da 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 do 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 da da. Literally, my feet were right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, right, right. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to throw up. I did meet Usher after the class. I shook his hand. We were in line getting a juice together at Earth Bar. My life's kind of crazy. Where was I talking? Oh, Barry's. So I went to Barry's. Let me tell you, I've only done one Barry's in my entire life. That was probably 5 years ago. And I went with my ex-boyfriend and I've never looked back. I never looked back. I never went again. Because let me tell you something about Barry's. Listen up, rats. Barry's is some bullshit. Barry's is hell. Barry's is, unless Barry's, you want to sponsor this podcast, then I love you so much. The class was amazing. Maybe I just, I'm a fraud. I'm fake. I'm annoying. I'm a loser. I'm a sellout. I think it's just because, you know, the lack of exercise in my life lately and the lack of maybe nutrition and maybe the alcohol consumption all probably have a lot to, you know, factor. And I mean, now sleep deprivation, there's a lot of factors in this situation, you know, but I thought I was going to be good because I haven't worked out in a while, so I wasn't sore and I hadn't drank in 2 weeks. So I was going in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Or so I thought. We started the bike. And, you know, I'm kind of doing good at the start. If any of you guys have done a cycling class and you either the first time you've gone or you haven't been in a while, you get this thing called saddle sore. Basically, that means your pussy gets beat from the bike seat because you're going up, down, left, right, super fast. When I tell you, my male vagine is bruised, it is in pain. And if I really wanted to make this an explicit podcast, I could give more words to describe the way that my taint feels. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I know that sometimes you guys have children listening to this. And if your child has made it this far, I'm actually very sorry. You should turn this off. Let's just say I'm saddle sore. And, you know, I'm really giving it all. And the instructor to this class is so cute. He's so gorgeous. He's so sexy-a. He's so stunning. And I made sure I was in the back of the bus. There's so much lore to this. I can't even. When I first get in there, I'm like, hi, my name is Ty French. I'm checking in. They're like, okay, hi, great. You're bike three. Let me just let you ponder for a second and guess where you think on a seat row map number three is in relation to the front row. Yeah, that's right. 1, 2, 3, front row. Dead fucking center in front of the instructor. When I tell you the instructor, 2 feet away from my face, front row in the class, I say, bye, bye, hasta luego. Haven't worked out in 4 years. You bet your ass I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of all these gay ass influencers doing a 1-2 step on a bike, heaving and sweating. No. So I made Josefina Cuervo change me because he was in the back of the bus. So I was in literally the back corner. And when I tell you, I don't know if it was my looks. I couldn't tell if he was flirting with me or if I was actually doing that shit of a job that it was so obvious that even through the sea of 50 muscle men influencers, he was staring at me the entire class, telling me to turn up the weight, to get off my ass, to go faster, to pedal this, to make it heavier. Literally, I'm not even exaggerating. There were times where I would like motion my hand, like, look away. Like, I'm good. Like, you don't got to. If there's one thing you ain't got to worry about, it's Ty French in the back of the bus on a bike. Okay. I haven't worked out in 3 years. I'm not like these other muscle gay men in WeHo that are in this class. I'm different. I focus on the arts. I focus on my creativity. I'm not focused on my body right now. So, you know what? When you're doing a 1-2 step to Clarity by Zed, I can't make it heavier. And I can't go any faster. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm going as heavy as I can. I'm sweating as much as humanly possible. Please do not single me out in front of this class and tell me to go faster and harder and heavier. Meanwhile, I was supposed to be sitting right in front of your ass. It's not okay. And my hair is so long right now. It's flip, flip, flopping all over the place. It was hell. It was some bullshit. Let me tell you. Speaking of, I think I decided I'm not going blonde. At least not yet. You know, there's been some debate. Should Ty French go blonde? I know people are probably talking about it on Reddit. You know, maybe there's articles, publications. Everyone's just wondering, is Ty French going to go blonde for Coachella? You know, the tabloids are just on my ass. There's paparazzi out my window. Everyone wants to know. But Tyron's exclusive. I'm giving you guys the first tip. I'm not. One, I'm not about to pay $1,000 before Coachella. I'd rather spend that on my fits. Two, my hair is so healthy right now. It's so lush, yes, and gorgeous, yes, and smooth and wavy. I don't want to ruin that because I think I might try and grow it out. I don't know. Don't hold me to it because let me tell you, ladies or men with long hair or non-binary community, long hair is honestly a form of torture. It is a form of psychological warfare. Trying to sleep in a bed with long hair, not long enough yet to put up in a bun or a pony or, you know, whatever. That's probably why I'm sleep deprived. The way my bayangs get all up in my grill, the way my sideburns come up and tickle my eyelashes, about every morning, about, I don't know, 7 a.m., I'm ready to grab a razor blade and shave my hair. Head like there's no tomorrow. I'm ready to shave my head like I'm Britney motherfucking Spears in 2008. Every morning I wake up at 7 a.m. because this hair, a hawk could literally make a bird's nest and lay its eggs and children out of my hair in the morning. It is a disaster. I wake up looking like Frankenstein just had the best sex of his entire life. every morning. I go to the restroom. I go to my tinkle because, you know, boys got to pee in the morning. I'm sure girls do. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I got to pee right when I wake up. And I look in the mirror and I go, wow. Let me add this to the list of reasons why I'm single. Number 182. Looks like Frankenstein in the morning. It's not cute. It's not a cute look. But on that note, I do think I want to continue growing it out because I had long hair before, once long ago, 47 years ago. Wait, is that a Martin Luther King quote? Because I don't think I should be quoting that then. Or is that Abraham Lincoln? Anyways, or is that Shakespeare? I actually don't know who that is. But anyways, long time ago, 2018, the year is, and I had super long hair. But one of you guys really humbled me. I did a Coachella, you know, walk down memory lane the other day on my Instagram story, Ty French, if you guys want to follow, like, comment, subscribe. And I started with a photo of me with long hair in 2018 at Coachella. And let me just tell you, I was so humbled. Someone commented and said that I looked like a Mormon Utah mom. And it hurt because it was true. Damn, bitch, you got me good. Tell me why I had long hair. And I would get highlights. The highlights, you know, not bad. I wanted to be blonde. I wanted to be beachy. Now tell me why I would get highlights. And then I would get a Brazilian blowout so it would stick straight. Jail. Hair by Chrissy, I love you so much. You've done so much to me. You've done so much to me. You've done so much for me. Love you, girl. Why did you let me continue to get a Brazilian blowout? Because my hair did not need to be that straight. I did not need to be walking around the streets of Los Angeles with a blowout and the highlights of Amber Fillera. And that's no shade to Amber Fillera. I love her. But I'm just saying, I had very girly hair. I had very womanly hair. And this was before I had ever stepped into a gym before. Let me tell you that much. When I'm saying 75 pounds with clothes and boots on, mama, tiny, tiny Tina, honestly, is what they should have called me. Every restaurant I went into, ma'am, are you ready to order? I had not a lick of facial hair yet. I couldn't even grow whiskers on my face. And I had long, blowout, gorgeously highlighted hair. Ma'am, are you ready to order yet? Excuse me? People would DM me and tell me I looked like Caitlyn Jenner. Yes, Caitlyn Jenner. Not Kendall, not Kylie, not Chloe. Caitlyn Jenner. Now, I'm not offended that you said I look like a trans woman. Obviously. Hello. Do you guys listen to Tyrants? Trans women or women? What I'm offended is that you compared me to an 80-year-old woman. What the fuck? That's rude. You couldn't find someone my age? I was like 21 at this point. 22. 21. And you are going to say I look like Caitlyn Jenner? That deserves jail. And you were honestly kind of right, though. I got to give it to you. You were kind of right. So I can't even be that mad. So all that to say, I need a redo. Because I wasn't in my, like, you know, chill, beachy, wavy, like natural, you know. Also now I can grow like a half mustache. I'm not fully there with like the facial hair that's like cute and sexy, but I make it work. Sometimes I fill it in with a little eyebrow pencil, you know. We make it work. And I've never had it with brown hair. So I'm like, you know, long hair tied, I think I saw the potential, but I needed to let it just be natural, wavy. And maybe I need to wait until it gets long and then decide if I want to highlight it or not. And if I do decide to go blonde, it needs to be more like chunky, less, you know, balayage, if you know what I'm saying. So all that to say, I'm not going to be blonde at Coachella. However, I might have some tricks up my sleeve. You never know. You never know what's going to happen at Coachella. But I got some tricks up my sleeve for some fits. I'm going to try. All I'm going to say, I'm going to end the conversation here. I'm going to Sally's Beauty Supply tomorrow. Do with that information what you will. And if anyone knows how to stop, no, I'm not going to say it. Anyways, I'm feeling crazy. I'm feeling cuckoo. I had a great weekend. Other than that, Went to some brunch. What else did I do? I went to like a little house party, but I wasn't drinking. So, you know, only as fun as it could be. Oh, not only was it April Fool's Day, it was also Easter. Of course, the celebration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, not mine. Happy Easter. Hope everyone had a great Easter celebrating. If you're Mormon, I think you had General Conference, maybe. RIP to you. Having to sit and watch through that. But I hope you know you took away some lessons. I had a gorgeous Easter. Very, very chill. I have actually been a little busy with work because I'm just like so busy and influencers have it so hard. No, but I've been really just, you know, I've had some editing that I've had to get caught up on from some clients, and I had a project that was due on April 1st. Now, who's the fool now? Me. I had a project that was due, and I had a lot more work to do on it still. So I was editing pretty much most of the day, but then I quickly bopped on in to Tessa's house to see Coco open up her Easter basket. Let me tell you, 10 out of 10 experience for me. I didn't even get the treats. I didn't even get the basket. Watching kids experience holidays for honestly what seems like the first time, because last year she was so young. Like now she's like, you know, fully talking and walking, and she was just so excited. She kept opening the Easter eggs and was like so shocked that there was chocolate in it every single time, even though they all had chocolate in them. Still after the 50th egg, she was like, oh, chocolate. It was so cute. And I just, oh, I love her so much. And then Cole made us a stunning roast. It was so delicious. It was honestly probably the first homemade meal that I've had in, honestly, I'm not going to admit how long, because then you guys could add up how much I've spent on Postmates. And that would make me, you know, and probably the IRS question a lot of things about my finances. So I don't really want to go down that road, but use your imagination. It was the first homemade meal I've had in a while, okay? It was a gorgeous, gorgeous Easter, gorgeous weather. And yeah, if you guys celebrated, he's risen. He lives. Hallelujah. Praise be. He's my redeemer. Amen. speaking of he is my redeemer, Tay Swizzle. I'm just kidding. There was no swag. There was no possible way to segue into what I wanted to talk about, but Taylor Swift, speaking of Taylor Swift, we were talking about her earlier, but they just announced, Forbes just announced that she has officially made it on to the billionaires list. Her net worth is now like $1.6 billion or something. And she is the only musical artist, or maybe the only female musical artist, to make it to the billionaire status just on performances and music alone, which is kind of crazy. It's really crazy. But there's this conversation to be had about billionaires. How ethical is this? Like, on one hand, I'm like, you know, being a billionaire almost feels like the new millionaire. Like, growing up, I used to think $1 million was like unheard of. If I made $1 million, I would retire. I would never work again. I would have a private jet and a yacht. Excuse me, I can't even buy a regular old speedboat and dock it in Marina Del Rey for $1 million. Like, $1 million is nothing these days. I can't buy an absolute pile of shit house in Venice, California that I would literally have to completely gut, that probably has 12 squatters in it, that probably has a lice infestation, for under $1 million. And I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. It's crazy. I'll never own a home. It's insane. I'm going to live in this fucking termite city for the rest of my life, but whatever. So get used to the motorcycle noises, because they're not going anywhere anytime soon. However, how ethical is being a billionaire? And when you, I mean, it's so impressive when hearing that Taylor Swift made it to be a billionaire based off of only music and performances alone is amazing. Yes. But then also you're like, okay, that almost makes it worse. Because all these other billionaires, it's like, it's still not ethical, but it's like you became a billionaire off of a million different companies, a million different avenues, and, you know, Skims, you got a fragrance, you got a makeup line, you got this. Jay-Z has like a record label. He has his own music discography. They make movies. He manages other people. He has companies. all, you know, whatever. If Taylor Swift is only on her music and her performances alone, it's like, can you make the concert tickets a little cheaper? Why do you have to exploit all these 15-year-old girls so that you can become a billionaire? Like, I don't know. And I'm not really streaming together my thoughts correctly, but it just is something to think about. Like, I don't know. I've had this conversation with my friend Mary before, and it's like, of course businesses are going to try and always like get bigger and always try and make more. Like each quarter you're going to try and like outdo the last quarter and whatever. And of course you want to make money. And if you have a company, you have employees, you make a product or you provide a service, like you're going to make money, whatever. It's like, at what point is that enough? And how did you get to the billionaire status with doing ethical practices? Because if you're paying people a fair wage, if you're paying people, you know, health insurance and, you know, dental insurance and, you know, 2 weeks vacation and whatever, it seems like almost impossible to become a billionaire. But there are all these billionaires. So it's like, did you get there ethically, or is there some shady shit going on? And I think obviously when you think of like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and whatever, you're like, yeah, exploitation. Children in the workplace, like unfair working conditions, definitely unethical. But then when it comes to Taylor Swift, I'm like, how does the music equate to $1 billion? How much is a billion? How much is that? How many millions are in a billion? How many millions are in a billion? 1,000. 1,000. Million is a billion. I can't even comprehend that. That is, I don't know. But I mean, congrats to that bitch. Congrats to Taylor Swift for becoming a billionaire. I just don't think that I mean, don't get me wrong. I love nice things. I love Gucci, Prada, Bottega Veneta, Louis Vuitton, Chanel. I love vacations. I love yachts. I love private plans. I love Aspen. I love the Hamptons, even though I've never been. I just don't think that I could sleep at night being a billionaire. First off, I would think that everyone's literally trying to murder me. I would have to have full-on security and literally a bodyguard in my bed, which hopefully it was hot. But and just like, how do you compartmentalize like your success? That like, obviously, I'm sure like you all earned, like Taylor Swift earned her money, whatever. Jeff Bezos literally created an item that everyone uses. Like, it's insane. Like, it's so amazing. Amazon, they might have some shady shit in the background, but, like, it is amazing. Like, I can literally order a 10 and it'll be in my house in 6 hours. Like, I can order groceries. You can order toilet paper and it'll be here in, you know, the next morning before you even wake up. Like, it is crazy and it's so amazing and it literally changed e-commerce. But, like, what was I saying? Shit. What was I saying? What was I saying? Oh, just like you earned that. Like you deserve that. Not you deserve it, but like you earned it. Like Taylor Swift has entertained millions of people, changed people's lives, like given people music that they can relate to, that they listen to every single day, that brings them joy. Jeff Bezos brings so much ease and convenience to people's lives and offers it at such an affordable price. And so it's like, yeah, okay, great. If something is being used by literally every single person on the planet, like you deserve to be compensated for that. But then how do you balance like seeing people that are homeless? Like what's the balance of like, you know, this is my money, I earned it, and also like giving back. I don't know. It's a fine line. And obviously, I think there's always more that you can do. But that's where it gets me to be like, okay, well then how did you become a billionaire in the first place? Because I think once I made, I mean, and I'm being generous with this number, once I made $300-400 million, anything I make on top of that, I'm giving back. It's going to charity. Like I would be giving back to, you know, gay organizations, trans rights, homelessness in Los Angeles, like aid to people overseas. Like there's so much that you can do with that money. And I would be completely happy living on 200, 300 million for the rest of my life. Like I would be good. And so it's like, where do you cap your personal earnings versus what you give back to your community? I don't know. Anyways, enough about that. Congrats, Taylor. Love ya. If you want to give me some money, I know I've been a hater on the gram and I know I've talked absolute slander here on the podcast, but I can be paid off to shut up. If you would like me to shut up and never mention your name again, quick, few million and I'm good. I'll never mention your name again. Only positive things. Actually, I'll rebrand this to the Tortured Poets Department. Is that what your album's called? I'll rebrand. I'll be Taylor Swift Stan. I'll be Taylor Tyrants. That's what this podcast will be. Just give me a quick few mil. Anyways, so I did this partnership with the Black Tux, which is like a tux rental and you can buy them and whatever. They're really amazing. Actually, I've had stuff from them for so long and I was actually really excited to partner with them. I did a TikTok. If you guys want to go see, it's on my @TyFrench TikTok. I did like, if I were going to prom this year, like I styled 3 looks and it just had me feeling so nostalgic. So nostalgic. And you guys know I just love nostalgia and feeling nostalgic and reminiscing. And it got me thinking about prom and going to prom and just like school dances in general. And I was like, what is prom? Literally, what is prom and why do we have it? And I looked it up and it said that according to history.com, celebratory events for young people can be traced back to ancient Greece. But the history of prom, short for a promenade, is rooted in 18th and 19th century debutante balls, the popular high society tradition with an introductory parading of guests in formal attire at a co-ed banquet. And obviously I've seen like debutante shit like on like the Gilded Age and in movies and whatever, or like Gossip Girl. And I had no idea that that's where prom started. Like, we really out here throwing debutante balls in public schools. And I went to prom, actually, most times I feel like you only go to prom twice, your junior and your senior year. But I actually went to prom 3 times. I went to prom as a sophomore with a girl that was a senior. I literally do not even remember her name. I think her name was Caitlin. It was one of my sister's best friends, and she didn't get asked to prom. And so I asked her. I was so sad. It was her senior year. She had never gone to prom. And all of her friends were going. Her sister, my sister, her best friend was going. And I was like, why don't I just ask her? We were all friends, and like I hung out with them a lot in high school. My sister's friend group and my friend group in high school were like all kind of commingled. And so I went to high school junior year with this girl and we were in like the group with my sister and it was so fun. I don't really remember too much about like how I asked her or anything about that. I know I asked her in like a way, how did we get started in this tradition of like, and maybe, I don't know if this is global or at least in the United States, or this might just be a Mormon thing and I have no idea, but like asking someone to prom or like a school dance homecoming in like a creative, you know, cheeky way. I definitely did all 3 years. I don't remember what I did the first year I went, but then the junior year I went with Kendall Evans, my bestie, or Kendall Heistum. Oops. Your friends in high school or your friends from childhood, like their last names will never get updated to me. Like she will always be Kendall Evans to me, even though she has been Kendall Heistum literally for almost 10 years. It's just so hard. Like, and I think it's because a lot of my friends didn't take their husband's last name. Like JC is still JC Smith. Tessa is Tessa Barton. So I don't know. Anyways, same with my sisters. Like my sister's last name's like, no, your last name is French. Like, sorry, you're my sibling and we're related and my last name is French. Your last name is French. I'm not going to call you by your new last name. That's just not going to happen. Anyways, What was I saying? Wow, I'm just really, really all over this place. Oh, junior year, I went to prom with Kendall Evans. Oh my gosh, I did it again. And it was so cute. I asked her. I don't even know why we went together. I think it's because she had a boyfriend. And, was she dating Zach? I feel like she might have been dating her husband. But he didn't go to our school. And he was already out of high school. So I don't think he could go. And obviously, she wasn't going to go with, like, a random guy. And obviously, at this time, I was not out of the closet. But they all knew I was homosexual. I wasn't trying to steal his woman. But we went together. And the way I asked her, funny and cute, however, a little shocking. Looking back on it, a little scary. I got a mannequin head with long brown hair attached to it. And I cut the hair to look like my haircut. And then I printed out a face, my face, and I taped it onto the face of this mannequin. And I put a little outfit on this mannequin. I think there were like hearts on the tie. It was like a little button-up shirt. And I left it on her doorstep. I left it on her doorstep, like a poster or something that said, like, will you take me to prom or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, what it said. I have got to find a photo. I know I have it somewhere. But, you know, cheeky little stuff. But, like, why? I wonder if there's, like, a tradition to that. Why do kids ask each other to prom in weird ways? Where did this start? Let me see. Promposal. That's what it's called. Let's see what this article says. Whoa. Okay. I don't need a whole freaking article. Anyways, long story short. That one was cute. And then senior year, I went with Billy. And I don't think that I asked her in like a certain way. It was just like, no, how did this work? I moved to Virginia and I finished my senior year there. And so I didn't even go to the school that she was at. So I don't know if I had to get like an exception or something to go to that prom, but I did. And I flew in from Virginia on the day of prom. And I literally got dressed for prom in the airplane bathroom, not in the airport. In the airplane, I got dressed for prom, and I literally basically went straight to Billy's house, and we took photos, and then we went to the dance. And when I tell you, we were so ahead of our time. We were so ahead of our time. We looked so sickening, so gorgeous. And Cowboy Carter, this is just like reaffirming that Cowboy Carter like was made for me, because I wore a corduroy blazer and a bolo tie to senior prom. And Billy had, like, instead of a corsage, she had a, like, little bunch of, like, dry, like, wildflowers. It was so cute. I really do feel like we were ahead of our time. We were just trying so hard to be hipster, westerner, you know, Arizona vibes. We also, Billy and I, went to, it was either freshman homecoming or sophomore. I think it was freshman homecoming. And that one we were not ahead of our time. We were not ahead of our time in that one. We looked like absolute clowns. You look like fools. She looked so cute, though. She had this gorgeous... I remember being so gay. I wasn't out yet, but, like, I was more excited about Billy's dress than I was for my outfit. Like, just because as a gay person, like, I just love dresses, and I loved, like, dressing up in dresses. I love to dress up. I really do feel like there will be a point in my life where I truly, like, you know, get more into drag and actually like maybe pursue it and doing it as a hobby on the side, because I just love dressing up. Like, something about putting on a dress just makes me oh my gosh, excuse me, something about putting on a dress just makes me feel like so fun and empowered, and I just love it. I love dressing up a drag. I've always have, literally since I was a kid. My dad used to like rip my sister's Sunday school clothes off of me. But what was I saying? Oh, she wore the cutest like plum purple little tulle dress, and it was so cute. She got her hair done. Oh, Billy, I just love you. And I remember being so worried about my tie not being the right shade of purple, and it all worked out perfect. But that was obviously, I think it was freshman year. So we had only been friends for 2 years at this point, a year and a half maybe. So we're still new into our friendship. And I definitely had a little bit of a crush on her. And, you know, what I thought was a crush, because I didn't know anything about puberty or sexuality or nothing. I mean, look at us now. She's a lesbian and I'm a homosexual. But I since the moment I like met her, like I just had this instant, like she, I truly believe that like you have soulmates in life, like multiple soulmates. And that can be like a love, a romantic partner that you're with, like, and you have children with or whatever. Billy is my other soulmate. Like, Billy is, like, she knows me better than I know myself. Like, I will literally jump in front of a bullet for her. I would have children with her. Like, I love her so much. And I've known that forever. But I, at this point, I thought it was, you know, maybe romantic. I had a little crush on her. And I, her mom is also, like, literally my mother. I love her so much. She literally has been a second mom to me since I met her in the eighth grade. But at this point, you know, it's early days. And I had to get into Billy's house and into her room while she was away. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I had this, like, I think I worked at Michael's at the time. So I had this, like, picture frame from Michael's, and I put this, like, pink poster board in the back. And I think, oh my God, this will just tell you what year it was. I am pretty sure I drew a giant mustache on the poster board, and it said, "I mustache you a question." Or something. And then I think it was, "I must ask you a question," and then something about a feather, because I put pink feathers all over her room and pink balloons and pink streamers and this picture frame. And oh, don't worry, I had a full photo shoot in the room with the picture frame and with the asking or whatever. And I don't even know where I'm going with that. It's just like, as I was doing this partnership for the Black Tux, and I was doing prom, because I included the homecoming photo of Billy and I going to prom. You guys will have to go see it if you want to see mine and Billy at freshman homecoming. Go watch my TikTok. But it just had me so nostalgic. Like, those things are so cute. And I feel like, I don't know, you just don't realize that when you watch movies, like coming of age movies and Disney Channel movies and whatever, they make prom this huge spectacle and this big deal. Like, I remember Pretty Little Liars, prom was always like this huge thing. And looking back, like, I never really think about prom. But then looking back after doing this partnership, I was like, wow, prom actually really kind of is that girl. Like, it really is kind of this big moment in your, like, high school experience. And it's so fun to look back on. You do your day dates, and, like, I feel like, especially maybe in the Mormon community and culture, like, it's kind of like the first time that you really, like, go on a date with someone, and, like, a formal date at that. Like, you both get dressed up, you go to a really nice dinner, you do a day date. And obviously I went with, like, my best friends all the time, but it was still just so fun to, like, be, like, intentional with, like, a hangout. Cause obviously I hung out with Billy and Kendall and, you know, everyone I went to prom with, like, all the time. But it was so fun to, I feel like it's the first time in your life where you really do, like, very intentional hangouts, and, like, there's a theme. And I feel like that's carried on so much throughout, like, my life. Like, I feel like JC and I are always doing themed dinners and brunches, and, like, we always have, like, very intentional hangouts where we, like, get dressed up and, you know, plan it and whatever. And, like, that is literally prom. Like, prom kind of, like, teaches you how to do that a little bit. I don't know, because you kind of have to do it on your own. Like, your parents aren't really involved, or at least my parents were not involved at all. They could care less. It's the first time that you slow dance with someone. And, like, you know, if you have a boyfriend in high school or a girlfriend, or, you know, you have a crush, then it's your, you know, an opportunity to kind of make a first move. And when you're a senior, it's kind of like your, like, farewell. It's like your last soiree and your last, like, party with all your classmates before graduation. And I don't know, now I'm fully understanding the thought process of, like, making it, or what am I trying to say, the I understand why movies and, like, coming of age movies, like, make it this big thing, because it is kind of this big thing, and it's so fun to look back on. I highly encourage you guys to go back and look at your prom photos today. Or any of my high school tyrants, if you're going to prom, live it up. You're going to have a ball of a time. I'm jealous. I want to go back to prom.
oh my gosh, it's 2024. And that means it is my 10-year high school reunion. And there was an Instagram page that followed me recently that was like saying it was in charge of planning our high school reunion. But I hadn't heard any details about that. I wonder if that's actually happening. Like, I want there to, am I the only person that actually wants to go to my high school reunion? Because I want to be like, hi guys, I got so much cuter. And I'm funny now. And I'm also a flaming homosexual. And fuck all of you guys who bullied me into this. But you were also correct. I lied to you guys for years. I am gay. Does anyone want to let me suck their dick? I gotta cut that. I gotta cut that. I gotta cut that. I'm kidding. 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 But is anyone single? Anyways, yeah. So I would like to go to my high school reunion. If anyone, 2014 class of Highland Hawks, have any information about the high school reunion, let me know. Also, yes, I'm technically not a part of the class of 2014 Highland Hawks. However, I don't give a fucking rip because I'm going to that high school reunion. I went to that high school for 3 years. I went to that middle school. That is my high school. That is where I'm going to the reunion. My high school that I graduated from in Virginia, I don't know anybody. I don't know nobody's name. I had no friends. I barely even went to school. I almost didn't graduate. I've never been home since. Like, I wouldn't be caught dead there. I would show up there and people would have no idea who I am. They would call security, 911, emergency, someone storming the building. This homosexual's in my land. I don't know what he wants. They would be like, bye-bye, see you later, freak. And you know what? I might get that same response at Highland, but I am going to go in there loud and proud with all my girls. It's going to be like the Bratz movie. Not the cartoon, the realistic one. Oh my God. Like, is there a better movie? Is there a better movie? What is the song that's on that movie that I think about all the time? I was obsessed with this movie. Wait, what is it? Oh my God. Oh. 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 This is me. This is me walking to my high school reunion with Kendall and Billy. Oh my God. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then how do we forget about Bratitude? Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Uh-huh, beatbox, yeah. We got that Bratitude. It's not that attitude. Oh my God, it's even better than I remember. Oh no. Set it free. Oh my God. Wait. I didn't know Mona from Pretty Little Liars was on this. Oh, oh. Wait, the song's amazing. Oh, oh. Wait. The song's amazing. I want to make that my ringtone. Anyways, wow, I can't wait to just storm down the hallways of Highland High with my besties, Billy, Kendall, Kylie. Wow, I need a reunion ASAP. If anyone has any information on that, let me know. Wow, I wonder if I have any listeners from Highland. If any of my Highland Hawks are listening to this, that are currently in high school, send me a DM on Tyrant's Pod. I wanna know. I can't even, like, you guys know I have the worst memory, but I can't even picture what the inside of that school looks like anymore. Like, it's been 10, 11 years, 10 years since I've been there. The last time I was there was for Billy's graduation. I barely even attended my own graduation. I flew back to Arizona and went to Billy's. Yeah, wow, I can't even... High school is such a blur, but that's what I'm saying. That's why prom is so fun, because, like, you remember that. You remember this moment that, like, you spent so much time on planning and preparing and getting your outfit for. The rest of high school, times tables, multiplication, chemistry, I don't remember fucking shit. I don't remember anything. I don't even remember what classes I took. Did I take a clay class? I don't know. I didn't learn a language. I know I was in, like, an intro to toy box situation. I, like, watched kids nap or something. I don't know. I don't know what I did, but I do remember prom. And I remember having so much fun. I need to post my prom photos for you guys on my Instagram stories. But anyways, wow. This episode might be the most chaotic. It's been all over the place. But like I said, I'm running on no sleep, no alcohol, no friends, no fun, no money. But we have no termites. So, well, as of now. So, you know what? You can complain. You can complain in life. It's healthy to complain. But you also do have to accept your wins. And my wins lately are the leak is gone. I haven't seen a termite in a minute. Knock on wood. And I'm healthy. I guess. Ish. I'm healthy-ish. What did I have for lunch? Oh, I actually had a pretty healthy lunch. I had a rotisserie chicken. Is that healthy? Don't ask. Don't ask why I had a rotisserie chicken for dinner. I mean lunch. And I'm probably going to have the leftovers for dinner. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, Tyrants. I love you so much. Don't forget to give me a rating and review because it helps me so, so much. You guys know that I read them all and I love you. Happy Wednesday. Have a great week. I will see you guys on Friday.
Bye.